You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Embarrassed that he has petered out here, and petered out at the end of the last segment specifically, where he was confused by both the clock and the last 36 hours of what have been a very draining experience for the entirety of our show. David Sampson has now produced a top five list with some preparation to combat what I am saying, that I'm willing to nominate Kim Mulkey and put her second on most villainous people in sports, and I'm making the qualifier of a person who embraces that role of villainy. Not just that they're disliked, but they're disliked and they seem to purposely do a bunch of trolling things. This changes your list? They do trolling things to embrace the professional wrestling heel character. We'll get to David's list in a second, but I want to reveal to the shipping container the conversation that I was just having in here with David and with Stugatz, and the illumination that came to me, I'm going to say about 90 seconds too late, in what was an argument with David and Stugatz. Matthew Coca came in, the excellent producer for Nothing Personal. I will again tell the audience, as I do almost every time David's around us, that Nothing Personal is covering different ground than just about anyone in sports, and you should check it out every morning, weekdays, DraftKings Network, and our YouTube channel. But before I get to villains and what Coca said, because Coca was surprised by how tall I am, and I get this a lot, because people, there's something about television that sitting next to my father or whatever it is that was happening, that people think that I'm smaller than 6 feet tall. And so what I get a lot is, you're taller than that. And Samson was saying, I get a lot, people say to me, you're a lot shorter than I thought you were.
People aren't going to say they're taller than he thought they were.
That is correct. They're not going to probably say that to David Sampson. But Sampson, I'm surprised they're saying out loud to him, you're a lot shorter than I thought, because it feels like you're leading with an insult there. I don't take you're taller than I thought as an insult.
It's a compliment?
Well, it's not necessarily a compliment.
It makes you feel good, though.
It's not negative. I'm not going to say.
That's how I feel about when people say you're shorter than I thought you were. I don't view that as negative.
That feels to me like it can be insulting if you're insecure about your height. And so both Stugatz and Sampson were saying to me, that's not insulting. And it took me about 90 seconds to realize that I'm dealing with two very confident short people. I wasn't realizing as it was happening. I'm pretty sure that short is considered more negative than tall when talking about people. But I wasn't in the company that I was keeping being met that way. Both of them seemed confused by what I was saying, and both of them were telling me that I was wrong.
Well, I think the comment can be spun as a positive for them, right? Like, so if you're viewing short as like a negative, they're saying like, well, you give off all of this confidence of someone who is not the height that you are, right? Like, I'll have the same thing happen to me sometimes when we have like show events or whatever. They're like, oh, you're a lot taller than I thought. And I'm like, well, what is that supposed to mean? Like,
so you don't take that as an automatic compliment?
Well, I take it as just like a comment, right? Like, I don't really understand what it adds, I guess. And it's not insulting to the people that say it. It's just like, I don't know what to do with that information. It's like, do I give off not someone who is very confident and strapping, you know, someone with swagger that's very tall? Because that's how I take it, is they don't think that that's who I am.
So people in show business are generally shorter than you think. And that's why I'm used to
Tom Cruise.
Very short.
Yes.
So I
poor
no,
men, honestly. Yeah. You guys just have so much to worry about. And think
that's exactly
about.
What this
it's hard
is.
Hard being a man, yeah.
No, but what Dan is saying is me and David don't worry about anything. I mean,
well, put it on the poll at Lebatard Show, please, Juju. At Lebatard Show, is you're shorter than I thought you were an insult? Yes or no?
I do think this actually genuinely does stem back to toxic masculinity and the patriarchy, in that giving off confidence implicitly makes people believe you're taller. Where giving off a bit of giving off a bit of
meekness,
sincerity, comfort in emotions might give off more of an average height.
You guys have to obsess over your heights, your wee-wee size.
Your chin.
Ugh. It's awful.
Yeah.
God, must suck.
I don't obsess over any of that stuff, actually.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
What do you obsess over?
Sure.
I obsess over cleanliness, over timeliness.
A giant statue in left field would have said differently, David.
Those things
as a very emotionally adjusted man, I think we should all follow your lead.
Billy, do you think that it's when you say what does that person mean by that when they think you're taller than you are? Are you doing it from the place of that could be insulting if this person is thinking that I'm too meek to be this tall?
Yeah.
You think they're looking at you as someone. So you're taking you're taller than I thought you were as kind of insulting if they're looking at you and saying you give off the confidence of a shorter person.
Well, I mean, the majority of people think that I'm this weak idiot. So when they see me in person, they're like, oh, hello, you're a human.
So people assume tall means smart.
No, they still confident. Think I'm an idiot. Yeah, no, they still think I'm an idiot.
Meet Gill.
I'm feeling the fallout from
we
saying
we did that
earlier.
Already. We did that 3 weeks ago. Oh, we already
I brought
did
it back.
We already did the Meat Gill joke.
That was a celebration as though it was a new joke.
That was
he
great.
Thought it was. Yeah, I'm feeling the fallout because the podcast has now come out of saying earlier that my daughters are idiots, and I didn't think anyone would hear that.
Ooh. We can't all have daughters that win the Meadowlark Lifetime Achievement Oscar Award like my daughter Willow did last night. Wow. By the way, speaking of little guys, look at this little guy. He's so cute.
To give the context to Billy, he loves his daughters, obviously. But
thank you,
Dan.
2 month old, and, 2 month old, and an 8 month old don't have a whole lot of intellect. Going on. Well, this is what he was.
Well,
this,
2 years and 8 months. Yeah.
But, I'm
same
sorry.
Thing.
There was. Well, but earlier. Forgive me, because I thought we said 2 months and 8 months. I know you're.
It's okay.
Older than that. But
it doesn't make a lot of sense if you think about
mathematically,
it.
Mathematically.
But
it's almost impossible.
It
if maybe Woody half were here, siblings, he would explain why.
But I think it is more dangerous. I had not actually done the tabulations and the math and the numbers in my head to actually think. Wait a minute. His daughter is older than 2 months old. But I was doing. 2 months old and 8 months old, those are not smart human
beings. They can't
even
drive. What can they do? They can't write their names. They can't do anything.
2 year old, to call a 2 year old an idiot is aggressive. I think people would be less mad at calling a 2 year old, less a 2 month old an idiot than a 2 year old.
Lighten up, people. Gosh.
What's happened?
We've come a long way as a country. You can't even call 2 year olds idiots anymore. Jeez.
It's your 2 year old.
And they can't even drive.
That's what I just said.
I think people's issue is that they're your children.
Yeah.
Not that they've never seen an idiotic 2-year-old. Well, it's that you shouldn't describe
your
own.
That's the only kind.
The issue is this is my father and it's his granddaughters. That was the main issue. And he said, don't call my granddaughters idiots.
That's who listens to this podcast?
Yeah. Yeah. He said, don't do that ever again. They were so smart, we let them vote.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju. If 2-year-olds were so smart, would we let them vote?
Could you imagine if that's what the election came down to?
Kind of feels like it's going to anyways. No, it kind of feels like that's what we're doing anyways. Is it not what it's going to come down to?
It would just add to the number of people who don't vote.
What is your top five list look like, and what have you crossed off your list? What are the corrections you've made? What is the
list? I crossed Derek Jeter off.
A villain? Derek Jeter's not a villain.
Oh, he is to David.
No, he's not a villain. You said that you need someone who views themselves as such.
He took your bathroom.
That was the criteria.
Derek Jeter is not a villain under any circumstances. If we were to throw it to the audience. The audience, not even Boston.
Oh, come on.
No.
Number five.
Wait a minute. Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Does Boston think Derek Jeter is a villain? Like, I feel like I'm talking to two-year-olds.
It's completely insane.
Do you guys not know what villain he is? Like, what are you talking about?
Maybe not.
About?
Yeah, me and David don't know what a villain is.
But, I mean, you think that there are only 100 names I could give you that Boston would think of as more. Like, Derek Jeter prided himself on not being, in any circumstances,
that's the
thought
joke of it.
By anyone a villain.
Well, so at A-Rod, but...
Well, wait, do you have a camera over my shoulder?
A-Rod's on your list, too?
You're not... Hold on. We are going to have a lot of disagreements about this list.
A-Rod cares deeply how people receive him. A villain does not.
I think villains are largely insecure. For sure. We're going to really get to the bottom of it.
A-Rod is one of the most insecure people you will ever meet. A-Rod is considered a villain around sports, around business, around... So,
but you can't want to be liked and be a villain. You can't crave being liked and accept your role as a villain.
He's talking about your willingness to be a villain and sink in to being a villain.
But do you think that's where I am then? Do you think that's where I live in that universe?
You're okay with it. You're fine with it. You're more fine with it than either A-Rod and Jeter are. You're more fine with negative public relations than either of those human beings are. Yes.
How about Bill Belichick?
He doesn't care one way or the other how he's received.
He can't even be on
the list. But he doesn't do things that are actively what Mulkey is doing. Like, Mulkey is looking for confrontation. Mulkey almost seeks being booed.
David, Charles Oakley was a villain. You like the Knicks. That guy was a villain and sunk into being a villain. He did.
But not with his speech. Maybe with his play, but not...
With his play, yes.
Not with his person.
Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Okay, now I have to disagree with you.
I don't understand what this list is.
But just give us your list.
No, I don't have a list anymore.
Skip Bayless.
That was your list?
Right.
Jim Harbaugh.
Harbs.
All right, I'll agree with you.
I'll agree with you there.
Okay.
Mahomes.
He just had a quote during the playoffs. I love being the villain. I love when people want to come at me.
He's not a villain. Patrick Mahomes is one of the most universally beloved athletes there are in America.
L. Ron Hubbard.
Good one, actually.
Does that not count?
L. Ron Hubbard.
No. I mean, he's right.
I may have a different understanding.
What is that?
I need more time.
Look,
so bad at this.
All right, David, I'm going to kick David out for the rest of the show.
Wow.
He is spent. He's got nothing left in the tank. He's delirious. He's demented.
People hate L. Ron Hubbard.
I understand that they...
He's not in sports.
He's not in sports. I was asking you about in sports next to Kim Mulkey. L. Ron Hubbard.
It's all I got.
Dianetics.
Get out!
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Score major comfort with the new Hanes Originals Super Soft Styles. Imagine this. Fabric so soft, it feels like you're practically wearing nothing. Now that's next level softness. Whether you're storming the court, conquering the workday, or just chilling on the couch, Hanes Originals Super Soft Styles have you covered, literally, in soft, cooling comfort. And let's not forget the style. These sleek designs and colors won't just keep you feeling great, they'll have you looking like a champion. So ditch the discomfort and upgrade your game with the new Hanes Originals Super Soft Styles. They're soft, they're cooling, they're everything. Try Hanes' softest fabric ever at hanes.com/originals. Use discount code DANLB20.
Don Levitard.
Billy's got a conundrum here. He's got a dog now, and he doesn't know how to socialize with other dog owners.
Stugatz.
Dogs, Dan. I don't know if you're aware of dogs. Dogs like to smell each other and kind of like socialize and all that stuff. So then I'm holding onto a leash with my dog on it while another owner is doing the same thing, and I don't know how to interact with this owner in this case. Like, hey, you know, my dog likes your dog's butt smell. As you guys know, I'm not good at small talk, so like this is a nightmare for me because what do I talk to these other dog owners about?
I experienced this exact same thing with my kid at a park.
It's the same thing. Kids and dogs
it's
are basically the same.
It's the same exact
thing. Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Are kids and dogs basically the same?
Because my two-year-old wants to run over and play with other kids, and all of a sudden I'm standing there, and our two kids are kind of chasing each other, and we're like, hey, yeah, there's our kids. How about that?
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
I'm going to throw a theory at the room here on what just happened to David Sampson. I have kicked him out permanently.
Really?
For the day.
Oh, okay.
I guess that's not permanent.
No,
but
just
for
the
day.
Right.
It's permanent today anyway, and I've kicked him out because I really do believe, Stugatz, that he has lapsed into delirium because of what the last few days have been like. He did a morning show by himself today after doing 7 hours yesterday, and I'm guessing most of the people listening to this who have real and arduous jobs do not understand why it is, for example, that Howard Stern has a show that he does 3 hours a day and then gets like 3 or 4 months of vacation, but he's working just 3 or 4 hours a day. How can that possibly be that tiring? And yet, when you look all over the entertainment landscape, whether it's column writing 30 years ago and they asked you to write 4 columns a week, or the way they ask you to do shows now, which is do a show for 1 hour a day or 3 hours a day, but it's just that. My guess is that most people listening to that don't think it's tiring, don't think it's taxing, don't think it's anything other than totally silly, and no one should get tired from that. As Travis Kelce says, podcasting is the hardest job in the world, which seems just ridiculous.
He plays football.
When he said that, I'm like, what are you talking about?
He's right.
You can do this as well as we can do it. Imagine us trying to do that as well as you do it. Like, what in God's name are you talking about? But I do believe what's happened to David Sampson is because he's a total stamina weirdo, Stugatz.
Yep.
7 continents in 7 days running 7 marathons.
Mm-hmm.
That's not. Your pain threshold is through the roof when you can do that. Your need for rest is through the roof when you can do something like that.
Yes. And doing that was easier than what he did the last 36 hours.
Well, I don't know if it's – I would not say that, but I would say that his judgment was better at the end of that than it was in that last segment, because it couldn't have been worse than it was in that last segment.
L. Ron Hubbard.
I mean, he's not even speaking the same language that we are.
L. Ron Hubbard.
It doesn't make any sense to me. That was after time for prep. I want to remind you what the segment before that ended, like where he got confused by the clock, and then he says, I object, and I'm like, on what grounds? And he's like, I've got nothing else here.
In David's defense, you know, you started taking away all of his villains. He was naming all these people he thought were villains, and then you're like, no, that guy's not
a
villain. That's not a villain.
Villains.
Well, they were terrible villains. Yeah. I'm not defending that. They were terrible villains.
That was the list that came with preparation.
It did.
He could give me nothing.
I don't know why I tried to give in David's defense. I never do that. Sorry. Out of character for me.
Receding back.
Yeah. Penalty box for you.
Just a yes and, you know? One of those.
Because he's so good at that.
That kind of thing.
But it seems like Dan is defending him as well. because he's saying that.
I'm not.
You're saying it's very difficult to do this. Like you get, if you do it for 36 consecutive hours, Dan, you're going to start to get hazy. You're going to start to have poor judgment. And that's what happened to David.
I am not defending.
I am.
What happened with David Sampson? I am explaining how nonsense gibberish someone I keep telling is very good at this. How much nonsense gibberish he produced that didn't make any sense. I'm trying to explain it because what he gave me the last couple of segments was an uncommon kind of useless. And so that's I'm trying to understand it because we're paying for this time and we have run him into the ground the last couple of days because what they did yesterday, seven straight hours, the reason Chris Cody and Mike are not around today and other people and Roy are not around today, I don't know how you, Jessica, I don't know how you got stuck with having to do this with me.
The reason they're not around is laziness, Dan.
No,
we showed up here.
No, this was scheduled this way to give them.
What do you mean?
Whoa, that's a peek behind the curtain. You're not supposed to give Dan Lebatard.
Listen, I love Chris Cody. I did a Sunday night watch along, Sunday Night Football. Billy did it as well. We were here at 8 a.m. sharp, ready to go. I mean, I wasn't sharp, but sharp? I was here
I was
at
not
8
sharp. You were here and not sharp, as I recall. I know what you guys feel like and look like on Mondays after you've done God Bless Football.
I take back the sharp.
Sharp, also you need to take back the sharp.
But I was here, man.
I was told I'm sitting in this chair today because Chris had to do Adnan's recap. And then Adnan was here today.
The plot thickens.
Which is odd.
Just like the tushy on this little mini Oscar. Look at this guy. He's got
caked
quite
up.
A little... His butt cheeks are...
Jessica, why do you nice. Keep waving that thing around as if it's supposed to mean something to anybody
It's a
here?
Lifetime Achievement Award.
That is a award. Big award, Dan.
It's nice. Congratulations.
I need to
Shorter
track
than I thought
the
he'd be.
Score on the Can You Beat David and Adnan game because I think I might have beaten them. I was 9-for-9 at one point last night.
Really?
I was knocking my picks out of the park. I need to go back and check that.
But then you stopped knocking them out of the park.
Well, then I went home.
Yeah.
And then I fell asleep. And now I need to go back.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Someone on the video team, tell me if I won.
Last night, more than almost 6,000 people were in this contest. Oh, I meant to ask David before he left what the prize was.
He doesn't remember.
His memorabilia is really good, though. People would want what he's
oh,
giving
Josh
away.
Johnson autographed baseball or something.
Yeah. Well, the problem with what he was doing is he wouldn't say what it was, and I wasn't clear on why it is he wouldn't tell people what it is that they were playing for from his memorabilia collection, because there's a lot of stuff in there that is super valuable, and only three people, let me see if I have these numbers right, only three people got everything right? Nobody got everything right, but three people got all but one thing right, and only 49 people out of nearly 6,000 did as well as David Sampson correctly predicting this stuff. So I'm not going to claim nefarious accounting. I wouldn't make that claim. It seems like he got a ton right. And that
certainly not of David Sampson.
Well, he's good. What's funny is that you can accuse him usually of nefarious accounting, but in this instance, I believe he created this entire contest because he knows how good he is at it, and he often gets these things right. I wanted to ask you something, though, about the viral video this weekend, Stugatz, of LeBron at the end of his career, the oldest player in basketball, being fawned over by ownership. I will remind people again, as I often do with the Lakers, they think of the Lakers as a big brand. It's a family brand. The Lakers are a family business in a way that very rarely in professional sports does the owner of your team not have other giant interests that make tons of money.
Right.
So Jeannie Buss has to be wildly grateful to LeBron James for making the post-Kobe years economically friendly because he's LeBron James and because she has him in a salary-capped league at an underpaid price because of the economy he brings with him. And the reason I want to bring it up is only because of this. I saw a video over the weekend of a guy just watching 90s basketball, and it was Michael Jordan against Patrick Ewing. And as you watched it, it all ages very poorly, and it all looks like garbage.
Except
like,
for Michael.
No,
of course,
everything.
Right? Stop it.
No, everything looks bad. But this person kept calling Patrick Ewing again and again trash because it's bad basketball compared to what it is that you're used to watching today. But I was juxtaposing that and the ending for Michael Jordan of his career, because I remember this clearly. Abe Pollin was a shitty owner, but he got the last of Michael Jordan with the Wizards. And at the end of his basketball career, Michael Jordan was an employee. And a disgraced one, leaving the building with no power. And I'm putting that next to what LeBron James has done over the last 15 years so that he can be in this position at the end of his career, where he's going to segue from whatever he's doing here, and he wants another three-year contract that's going to be in the $100 million range.
He'll get
the
it.
Oldest player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to go out the way Michael Jordan did at the end, because I remember feeling offended on behalf of Michael Jordan that the Washington Wizards had mismanaged everything so poorly over the previous 20 years that they made him feel like an employee at the end of everything he had done for basketball.
Right.
And this is what I'm watching when I watch this video with LeBron James being fawned over by the owner of the Lakers, like felt up, touched by the women around him in a way that feels like just hugely affectionate. It feels different to me than how Michael Jordan's career ended. And you understand how LeBron has changed so much of what that sport is and what people like him have in terms of power so that it could look like that at the end. Because what age, can you look it up? I'm pretty sure it's at whatever age LeBron is now, that Michael Jordan had to suffer the indignity, Stugatz. The indignity.
Right.
When you're Michael Jordan.
Of playing for the Wizards?
Not even of playing for the Wizards. Of being rejected at the end by the Wizards and being told that he has no actual power and just sort of run out of the building without options, without GM control, without any control over what happened to him at the end. I would just say to you, I know many people in our audience are plenty fed up with me talking about player empowerment, but when I tell you a place that LeBron James, you will get no argument from anybody, will be better than Michael Jordan, is on the ending. He'll get the ending better than Michael Jordan got the ending.
Well, Michael had several different endings, so he nailed the Bulls ending. I mean, he did.
No, you got one
Which
ending.
Bulls
I mean, he pushed
one.
Off yes. on Byron Russell.
The
he hit a jumper. He won his sixth title.
That's the second ending. Yeah. That's the second ending. That's
right.
Not
he messed
the first
up the first ending.
Well, if LeBron screws up his first one, then he we died. Can offer him a yeah. couple more, right?
Yes.
Tom Brady messed up his first ending, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
you
did.
Only get one ending. I think you.
No.
Nah.
No. That's not how it works.
Okay. I appreciate this argument. I think we should do that show where it's an argument show where I say a thing and you guys just make that sound. But I think you only get one ending. I mean, by
on his Wikipedia page, it says the final retirement. So yeah, he got multiple endings.
But there's one actual ending to your playing career. The other two didn't end up being endings. They were endings at the time.
Interesting that The Last Dance wasn't the ending.
It's his ending, though.
Yeah, but it's his last dance.
But he chose it.
The Last Dance was also not about
right,
his last
the end.
Dance. Yes, he got a lot of final things and a lot of lasts and a lot of endings that weren't the actual ending.
I feel like he's got a couple more in him. Not one, not two.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Don Levitard.
Teammates can't shoot from three. Now they're gonna see a different Jimmy. Now he's just playing Nickelback in the locker room and
Stugatz.
They'll play D and shoot threes as they chase the Nets for the sixth seed. These five words in his head scream, are we winning games yet?
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
averaged 23 a game when he was 39. Ridiculous.
Yeah, but he was 13 for 39 in every game.
I mean, 41. I mean, it's the Wizards.
No, but he was just jump shots. I know, but they were bad because of him. They weren't just the Wizards bad because they were the Wizards. They were. That's true. That is true.
They came to see him shoot, even if he was missing.
13 for 39. Yeah.
He was nine for. He was an average of 9 for 22.
I believe, Stugatz, that you'll be offended by this, but Jeremy, as a child, saw Michael Jordan play for the Wizards, and as a child, left the arena saying, "That's a bad basketball player."
That's unfair. That's unfair.
Bad basketball player. I was underwhelmed in that I was 8 years old and everyone in the world had told me Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player you ever have seen, ever will see, all of that.
Yep.
I showed up to the game and he was something like, you know, 9 for 40.
Right.
Well, you were an 8-year-old. What the hell do you know?
And he was
an idiot.
And he was 40.
He was 40 years old. Look, it just wasn't the Michael Jordan I was anticipating seeing.
Jeremy,
disappointing.
Jeremy was charting efficiencies as an 8-year-old.
You know me.
He's like 13 for 39.
Jeremy's never charted efficiency.
Jeremy was doing the halftime performance.
Actually, I did sing the national anthem when I was 8 years old at a Heat game.
Shut up.
Not
that
alone.
Is the least surprising thing
I
ever heard.
Of the University School Sensations.
Oh my God, the Sun. What is the Sensations?
We were the Suns. So instead of Sensations, we were the Sensations.
No, I get the wordplay, but what was it?
It was like a little singing group for,
future dumb little babies.
Yeah, for dumb little babies.
Oh, future gleeks.
Yep. Did you, speaking of age, I don't know if you guys know this, but Stephon Diggs is the oldest member of the Bills offense at 30 years old. Stephon Diggs, that is a young offense, an unusually young offense. And when it comes to keeping these parts together, Stugatz, I don't know what's been reported most recently. I was a bit surprised when the Kansas City Chiefs, when I read in general, and this is the finances of the sport, I told you last year that even although they have McDuffie, that I haven't seen a whole lot of people play corner better than L'Jarius Sneed played it for the Chiefs last year. And there have been conflicting reports on whether or not what it'll take to get him is a second round pick or a first round pick. But he's available. And because of the finances of stuff, we were talking earlier in the show, and I was saying that Chris Jones might not be as important as Patrick Mahomes, but is in the realm of, for that team, being hugely important. And you can argue, I think, after the last 2 years, more important than Tyreek Hill was.
No doubt, yes.
To the Chiefs, just in terms of what the results ended up being, not necessarily the offense, but the Chiefs are now being depleted by dollars, and Chris Jones is not somewhere that they're willing to save money, but L'Jarius Sneed is. That I've heard all offseason that he is available. Some people, in talking about the Dolphins, have created the scenario where you trade Jaylen Waddle for Sneed because you're losing Xavien Howard and you want something opposite Jalen Ramsey that is, overwhelming. But the finances of the sport make it so nobody in Kansas City is confused about why L'Jarius Sneed is available. He's available because they had to pay their quarterback and they've got to pay Chris Jones and they've got to pay all sorts of people.
They have to prioritize.
And they've got a very young defense. The defense that just won them the championship, I'm tying it to the Bills, that Bills offense is exceptional. I don't know if Stephon Diggs has aged out at 30, but he didn't look very good at the end of last year. People were talking all of last year about how he's not happy there. Everything with Josh Allen changed with Buffalo when Stephon Diggs got there. And now, at 30 years old, he's the oldest member of an offense that is very good. And the Chiefs defense is also one of the youngest defenses to ever win a championship. Yes. And now they're going to start losing some of those pieces.
Is that offense very good or is Josh Allen very good?
It's a good question.
Because we talk all the time about how he doesn't have many pieces beyond Stephon Diggs.
Right. But isn't it the same thing? Once I make your quarterback good, haven't I made your offense good? Does it even matter?
Ask the USC Trojans. Football team last
Well, their
season.
Offense was good.
Williams was good.
But if you have a good quarterback, you have a good
if
offense.
If we think your quarterback is good, generally the offense is good. In fact, that's one of the things that makes it for Russell Wilson is available now. Because, wait a minute, Denver was constipated all season. I'm used to Russell Wilson. At the end of the games, he's in the games and he's driving up and down the field. It's not this 4 yards at a time crap and he can't get out of the pocket. As soon as Denver's offense became bad, we think Russell Wilson's no longer a good quarterback. Like, that's how that one happened.
Especially because we thought at the very least, that the Broncos had great weapons as he was going there. You saw guys like Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy.
We thought it was a good fit.
Everybody's eyes were wide open.
Yes.
I think there's a difference, though, between your quarterback is good and your offense is good. Yeah. Like, I think an argument just in the AFC East can be made where people will say the Dolphins' offense is good and there's still questions as to is Tua good.
That's fair.
But I don't think there are any questions. If our audience is in consensus agreement, a quarterback is good, that we're then going to say that offense isn't, because there would be no evidence of the quarterback being good if the offense isn't.
But you can have quarterbacks that have bad offenses that you still say are good. Like, are the Jaguars good? Is their offense good? Because people will still say that Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback.
Oh, I think people are questioning. I don't know if Trevor's
good.
I think people are questioning Trevor Lawrence is good because
Billy has been.
Because the offense.
I feel like your offense is good if your quarterback can have an average game, but you can still win with your offense. I think that's like the differentiation. Like, I think good offenses. All right, I guess good quarterbacks
do just
make
enough.
An offense look better oftentimes.
Right.
And sometimes when you rely on one player to win you a game and they aren't able to do that for whatever reason.
How about the Chargers?
It exposes you.
Good offense, though, Billy. Mm. No?
Their defense was terrible. They lost last year because of their defense. I know you questioned Justin Herbert. I'm not talking about winning and losing here. I think you guys might be able to hit me with a couple of outliers on this, but I don't think you're going to be able to consistently do it. If I ask you any quarterback's name and I say, is that a good quarterback? And you say yes, you're then going to give me a good
offense.
Let's
play this game. We have 5 minutes
That's
left.
That's fair.
You're going to give me a good offense on any...
Good game.
Because, Billy, are you questioning whether the Chargers' offense was good? Like, I'm saying, statistically, you can have some questions about what the Chargers were, but they've been playoff relevant because their offense is good. And I thought the failure of that team last year is they had one of the worst defenses in the league.
I think you can have a good quarterback that masks an offense and you assume it's a good offense because of how good the quarterback is. But that doesn't mean they're a good offense.
Can I ask you about the San Francisco 49ers and Brock Purdy, sir?
Okay, no, but you're doing it the other way. You know that's a good offense,
it's
and you're
game.
Still questioning the quarterback. That's not what I'm doing.
So you're saying if
I'm
it's
saying I
good
know the
quarterback the offense is,
good.
Is automatically good. This is sort of like how a rhombus isn't a square, but a square is a rhombus.
It's nothing like that.
Yeah.
It's not like
Nerd.
That.
How about the Lions, Jared Goff?
Both are good.
Mm.
Do we know if Goff is good?
Again, you
so
guys,
you're looking for
you
the
guys,
definite
wait,
good quarterback.
Wait, you guys need to stop playing this game differently
yeah.
than I
this
am.
This is fun.
It's a little twisty. You're
not having
no,
fun.
No, it is not. There's nothing twisty about what I'm doing.
It's like when something comes out with a hint of lime. That's what we're doing.
Okay. This is why.
Same so product, CJ Stroud is good.
Yeah,
is the
good.
Texans' offense good?
Yes.
I don't know. Good question.
Huh.
Yes.
Let's cut to the chase.
But
text
is it because
me,
of CJ Stroud or we don't know?
The Texans' offense is good. Stugatz continues to play a different game. This is the theme for today. It's how L. Ron Hubbard made an appearance out of nowhere. Play a different game than the one Dan is playing. When I say, if the quarterback is good, then the offense is good, and then you come back with Jared Goff, I'm not sure he's good.
Right.
You're playing a different game than I am.
A little twist to your game.
How about the Ravens?
I've acknowledged that.
Their quarterback is good and their offense is good.
Does their offensive coordinator count as their offense? That's part of the equation.
Offense is good in the regular
season.
They're the
fourth highest scoring offense of the league.
All right, I'm going to do it another way.
They had 10 points against the Chiefs.
Exactly right.
Do you blame the offensive coordinator or the offense, though? Because if he's part of the offense, then yeah, I would say offense, some weaknesses there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it another way. Because
I
told you guys,
another
yes,
twist.
Like the number of Michael Jordan endings that there were, three of them, even though there was only one.
Now you get it. There's more
yeah.
than one ending.
Now I get it. Yeah. Yes. I will never get you, Billy. I will go the rest of my life without getting.
I've accepted that.
Yeah. So have I. That's what you hear in my voice is defeat.
Wow.
The question I will now place in front of all of you is not even multiple outliers. Give me one quarterback right now playing that is good that I can say his offense isn't.
The Chiefs.
Bingo.
Patrick Mahomes.
That's a good one.
Check me.
I mean.
Do we know Patrick Mahomes is good, though?
Oh, yes.
Do we know he's a villain? Do we know if he's a villain?
That's
he's
up for
so not
that is
a
such
weird
a weird
villain.
Take. Yeah. Why would Patrick Mahomes be? I know people hate when someone becomes good enough to win, but I don't think he's a villain.
That's why he thought Derek Jeter was a villain, because he was winning all the time. And so there's people that didn't like him.
But also he was on the Yankees. That's, I think, automatic
the villain
status if you're on the Yankees.
The Chiefs wanted to be viewed as villains this past Super Bowl. like when we were at like media night and all that stuff, like they were trying that, to ham it up and like, well, they embraced something that they gave themselves. They were trying to make themselves the villains, I think.
And like overcoming adversity.
Oh, please.
That whole storyline. Like every team creates that narrative in their head, I think.
Just back to Snead for a second. There is a scenario where the Chiefs can keep him. They have tagged him. They don't want to go in without him having a contract into this season. They would have to clear like $76 million in cap space, which, according to Adam Schefter, he's saying that they can do that fairly easily if they want to commit him to a long-term deal. So,
but all of those decisions, you have to make cuts that hurt all over the place. And that team it has been diluted, but is still good enough to win the championship. I want to circle back around on what Jeremy is saying, though, because I know the Yankees have a historic villainy about them.
You're not talking about the square rhombus thing?
No, I would like to never talk about that again.
Can we talk about Jeremy throwing up before he sang the national anthem at the Heat game?
I did.
He was nervous.
No, I thought I was nervous, but I actually had a fever. I was a little baby.
Little baby Jeremy puking all over.
It was disgusting.
Little baby Jeremy thinking Michael Jordan stinks as a basketball player.
Yep.
It's terrible. I feel
it's
bad
the
for
only
you.
Information that he had.
Saw Shaq and Kobe. They were great.
You're bringing in ancestral villainy to the Yankees. I don't believe they're actually villainous anymore. Like that,
that's because no one cares about baseball.
You're grandfathering it in, though. No, and because they haven't been that good, and they don't have players you dislike. You need to have some hateable things. Why are you still waving around that lifetime shit statue, Jessica?
Just wanted to hold it.
Have you never
cute.
Won a trophy before? Like you're obsessed with this.
Oh my god, but it's so cute. Willow's totally gonna eat this.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.